I think on this first Sunday of the new year, I think it's a good thing to ask, what's your vision for the future? And how far does that vision extend? I think when most Americans think of their future, too often they think only in terms of this world. In fact, I suspect that most people, when they plan for their future, they don't plan for anything beyond their retirement. When asked about their future, they might say, well, when I retire, I want to travel. Or when I retire, I want to live close to my grandkids. When I retire, I want to build my dream house. When I retire, I want to volunteer. And really, that's tragic. It's tragic because it demonstrates that when most people plan for their future, and when they live in their present, they live as if eternity isn't real. They live as if God doesn't exist. They live as if there is no heaven. They live as if there is no hell. But that is not how an apostle named Paul lived his life. Paul lived and he planned with eternity in view. Paul understood that this present world will one day pass away. Paul lived for a world that is yet to come. And we see that in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 in verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, Paul reveals that the life he lived in his present was a world and a life that was anchored in a future hope. In other words, Paul's actions, Paul's attitudes, Paul's values, Paul's priorities here on earth were governed by God's promises to him of heaven. With that in mind, please listen to how Paul's future hope shaped his response to the persecutions and the hardships he suffered for the sake of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, Paul writes, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they're temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal." What do we hear there? It was Paul's hope of heaven that encouraged him in the midst of suffering and trials on earth. Paul's faithfulness, Paul's priorities on earth were all shaped by the eternal glories that God promised him in Christ. And shouldn't that be the same for you and me? Don't we have the same Jesus that Paul had? And don't we have the exact same promises for our future that Paul had for his? Shouldn't our vision of unseen things of heaven shape the way we live today on earth? Well, the unseen things of heaven very much should shape our lives on earth today, and they will, unless, of course, we don't have a vision of the unseen things of heaven. So can I ask, day by day, week by week, do you fix your eyes on the unseen things of heaven? Or are your eyes more often fixed on the things you can see on earth? For that matter, do we even know what the unseen things of heaven are? If not, I got good news. Because Paul describes the glory of at least a few of the unseen things of heaven as we continue to read this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. So if you have your Bible, or one of the Bibles in your chair in front of you, look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's read verses 1 through 10, where Paul describes some of the unseen things of heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 1, Paul writes, "For we know that if the tent which is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent," that is this earthly body, In this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, this earthly body, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. And we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. See, what you believe, what I believe, about our future will ultimately determine how we live, what we live for in the present. So, Christian, what do you believe about the future you have in Jesus Christ? Do you believe God's promise that Jesus is coming again? Do you believe in God's promise of a new heaven and a new earth where only righteousness dwells? And if you say, yes, I believe it, and I believe God's promise of a future for me in heaven, then let's ask ourselves, what difference is that making in our lives here on earth? Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul reveals at least three presently unseen realities of heaven that we can fix our eyes on so we can live more effectively and more joyfully for Jesus Christ here and now. Here's the first unseen reality of heaven that Paul shows us. Christian, you know that when Jesus comes to take you home, that God promises you a body fit for heaven. A body fit for heaven. Listen again, verses 1 through 4. Paul instructs, "For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God and a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent, in this earthly body, we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, a heavenly body. If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in the tent, in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed. So that what is mortal, this body, may be swallowed up by life." How many people in our world today really worship and obsess over their earthly bodies? How many people invest inordinate amounts of time running and crunching and lifting weights so they can flex and look good? You can tell I don't. How many people give themselves over to surgical stretching, lifting, tucking, implanting, liposucking, Botoxing their bodies in a hopeless battle against aging or the pursuit of this world's notion of what beauty is? How futile. Now, don't get me wrong, because exercise is important. It really is. Cosmetic surgery does have a place. Even so, how silly we are if we make these fallen earthly bodies the focus of our lives. Let's never forget, while God does call us to be good stewards over our physical bodies, in the end, these bodies are destined to die. These bodies get sick. I'm beginning to notice these bodies grow old. These bodies become helpless. They become weak until they can literally no longer perform. More than that, in our fallenness, these bodies harbor twisted passions and selfish desires that tempt us and often lead us into sin. These earthly bodies are temporary. And that is why Paul calls them tents made with canvas rather than buildings made with stone. Doesn't God tell us from dust these bodies are made? And from dust, or to dust, these bodies will return. Now that would all be rather depressing, wouldn't it? If we didn't have the promise of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, a promise that really ought to make us sing. Paul says that after we leave these tents behind, we have a promise of a building from God, a house made with, not with hands, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In other words, the promise is, on the day Jesus comes, we all get physical bodies fit for heaven, custom made by God. Verse 4, one day soon, our mortal bodies will be swallowed up by life. And that means no more sickness, no more fatigue, no more pain, no more depression, no more death, no more twisted passions or temptations of the flesh. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and follow Him as your Lord, this is your future. This is your future. This is your reality. No wonder 1 Corinthians 15:54 declares, when the perishable, that's this, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death, death is swallowed up in victory. So again we ask, Christian, how clearly are you seeing the unseen things of heaven? How deeply do you believe God's promise concerning the future He has for you? Do you believe that God is going to give you a glorified body fit for heaven, fit for eternity? Because if you believe that, won't that change the way you think and the way you live and your priorities in this world? But that's not all. Do you believe that when you get to heaven, God will also give you an eternity with Jesus? An eternity with Jesus. The second presently unseen blessing of heaven is the physical and eternal presence of Jesus Christ with us in heaven. What do you think of when you think of heaven? What do you most look forward to when you get to the other side? You look forward to the beauty of a creation unstained by sin? I mean, the beauty of this creation is phenomenal. You imagine what a creation unstained by sin is going to be. Do you dream of heavenly mansions? You long for a reunion with your Christian loved ones who have gone before? You know what? You're going to find every one of those things in heaven. But in the end, not one of those things is really what heaven is about. Look again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. Paul writes, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in this body, we are away from who? From the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with who? With the Lord, with Jesus. We'd rather be at home with Jesus. Do we hear what makes heaven heaven? Do we understand that the greatest eternal joy of heaven will be the unobstructed manifest presence of Jesus? You know that in heaven, you are going to see Jesus like you've never seen him before. You know that in heaven, you are going to know Jesus like you have never known him before. In heaven, you are going to enjoy Jesus with an unending joy. In heaven, you're going to walk with Jesus and you're going to soak in his love forever. Unhindered. Unhindered by your sin and unhindered by your self-centeredness. Living in Christ's presence and enjoying perfect fellowship with Jesus, that's what heaven is about. That's what heaven will be. You know what that means? It means that if you're not all that interested in Jesus right here, right now, probably heaven's got not much to offer you. If Jesus doesn't mean much to you today, I doubt you really want heaven. Because if you don't rejoice in Christ's presence in your life today, what makes you think you're going to rejoice in his presence when you get to see him face to face? Christian, what are the unseen realities of heaven? What awaits you on the other side of death's veil? What will God give us when Jesus comes again? Paul tells us. What awaits us is a new body fit for eternity. And what awaits us is the eternal presence of Christ. And third, what awaits us is the judgment seat of Christ. Whoa, where'd that come from? Well, it came from the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. Verses 9 and 10. Having expressed his personal desire to go home and be with Jesus, Paul says, "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Do you know that even as forgiven followers of Jesus, we will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ? And notice that this day of judgment isn't just about rewards for doing good. It's also about loss for doing evil. So what are we supposed to do with that? I mean, if Jesus saves us by grace alone and not by works, how do we process that? Well, let's remember, who's Paul writing to? Paul is writing to believers, Christians. And that means the judgment Paul speaks of here is not a judgment that determines whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. If your faith in Jesus Christ is a genuine, saving faith, you don't have to worry about condemnation and separation from God forever. Believer, God in Jesus Christ has already absorbed your eternal penalty for sin and my sin when he died on the cross, and you can rest in that. Nonetheless, even as saved and forgiven believers, Paul says we will still stand before the judgment seat of Christ when he comes. Now here's what that means. It means that as a believer, how we live for Jesus in this world will somehow make a difference in our eternity. Again, not heaven or hell. Pleasing Jesus as a Christian matters today. And pleasing Jesus as a Christian matters for eternity. As Christians, God will reward us for our faithfulness to him in this world. But if, on the other hand, we are persistently careless, take note of the word persistently, not one of us in this room, well, maybe I should ask you to raise your hand, if you consistently and perfectly follow Jesus, okay, I don't raise my hand either. So note the word persistently. If we are persistently careless, if we are persistently disobedient, as Christians, if we are persistently apathetic in our walk with Christ, what Paul is telling us here, we will in some way suffer loss on the day Jesus comes. And again, not the loss of salvation. Because we're not talking about here whether we're going to heaven or hell. Even so, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, 1 Corinthians 3:15 does declare that some believers will enter heaven and suffer loss at the same time. I mean, how's that even possible? How do you enter heaven and suffer loss on the same day? I don't know. But I do know the Bible says that for some believers, that is going to happen. And that's why we need to fix our eyes on eternity now. That's why we need to live for heaven today more than we live for earth. That's why we need to stay in God's Word. That's why we need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And that's why we need to seek the grace of God every day to empower us and enable us and guide us in our life and walk with Him. Believer, how is your future transforming your present? Do you see the unseen realities of heaven? Are those realities shaping your life on earth today? Are you remembering that when Jesus comes, God is going to give you a body fit for heaven? Are you remembering that on the day you die, on the day you go to heaven, God is going to give you an eternity in the presence of Jesus Himself? Are you remembering that when Jesus comes, we will each appear before His judgment seat? Do you believe God's promises for your future in a way that changes the way you're living in your present? Well, if you struggle to believe that those unseen promises of heaven belong to you, I got good news again. Look with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 5, Paul tells us why we can be certain. Why can we be certain that the unseen realities of heaven really do belong to us? Speaking of our eternal future in heaven, Paul says, He who has prepared us for this very thing, He who has prepared us for heaven, is God. Who has what? Who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. As a guarantee. How can we know if the unseen realities of heaven belong to us personally? I think at one point or another, most of us have probably asked the question, how can I know if I'm really saved? The Bible gives one basic answer to that question. And that answer is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Paul tells us that the presence of God's Spirit in our lives is God's guarantee that we belong to Him. The presence of God's Spirit in your life is His guarantee that all the promises of heaven belong to you. So let me ask, does the Holy Spirit dwell in your life? John 16, verse 8. It tells us that the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. Do those convictions reside in your heart? Because if they do, the Holy Spirit is there. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14 says, it's the Holy Spirit who opens our minds and hearts to understand God's truth. Has the Holy Spirit given you a love for God's Word? Is the Holy Spirit helping you understand Scripture in ways that you would have never been able to understand before you put your trust in Jesus? It's a mark of the Spirit in your life. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 says, the fruit of God's Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Is the fruit of God's Spirit present in your life? Is it growing in your life? Romans 8, 16 declares that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Does God's Spirit bear that testimony to you in your heart? Christian, God has given His Holy Spirit to you as His guarantee that you belong to Him and that all the promises of heaven are yours. First, when Jesus comes, God will give you a body fit for heaven. Second, when you leave this world, God will give you an eternity in the presence of Jesus Christ Himself. And finally, when Jesus comes, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and to the degree that you have lived for him, you will receive reward. So are we honestly fixing our eyes on the unseen realities of heaven? Or do we primarily devote ourselves only to those things that we can see on earth? The more we fix our eyes on the unseen realities of heaven, the more our priorities on earth will change. For instance, the more we fix our eyes on heaven, the more our future life in heaven takes priority over our present life on earth. Listen again, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. After reminding us of the realities of heaven, Paul declares, "Yes, we are of good courage." Why? Because, Paul says, we would rather be away from the body, that is, this earthly body, and we would rather be at home with the Lord. Paul says, I would rather be in heaven than on earth. In other words, the life God promised Paul in heaven became more and more appealing to him until it was more appealing to him than his life on earth. Because Paul saw the unseen things of heaven, Paul made his heavenly life a priority over his earthly life. In other words, seeing heaven made Paul unafraid to die. He said, "What's that to me? I'd rather be there anyway." Do we see eternity like Paul saw it? Are we unafraid to die? But that's not all. When we fix our eyes on eternity, not only will our life in heaven take priority over our life on earth, in the same way pleasing Jesus will take priority over pleasing ourselves. When we see heaven clearly, pleasing Jesus more and more takes priority over pleasing ourselves. One last time, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. In the light of every believer's future reality, Paul declares, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim, we make it our goal to what? Please him. Please him. The more clearly we see the realities of heaven, the more pleasing Jesus takes priority in our lives over pleasing ourselves. Believers, one day soon, God will give each of us an eternal body fit for heaven. No more sickness, no more pain, no more death. Second, when we get to heaven, God promises that we will live in the physical presence of Jesus forever. We will know him like we've never known him before, and we will soak in his love forever. And finally, even as forgiven believers, we will each appear before the judgment seat of Christ, where we will gain or lose eternal reward. How clearly do we see these unseen things of heaven? Are God's promises for tomorrow shaping our lives today?